Today on Real Radio.
Jesus is standing there as the Son of God because he was. He was standing in absolute authority because he was. But these guys didn't like it. And so they're going to challenge him. So who made you the boss is their question. Human nature lusts for authority when it's not under the control of God. It's human nature. Man seeks to establish it himself. Man seeks to enforce it himself. You will listen to me is what they're saying to Jesus. While here in human flesh, Jesus Christ looked to God the Father to establish his authority. Church, this is key.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live.
Welcome to Real Radio with pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his verse-by-verse through the New Testament narrative written by Luke and is examining the latter half of chapter 19. As well, we'll be looking at numerous other passages that support the principle of the Messiah being divine and therefore having divine authority. Let's get underway as Pastor Jack continues to expound on this in a mini-series called The Ever-Present Argument of God.
By his witness, we know the patience of God. This is where the rubber meets the road. And this is awesome stuff. While he was preaching and teaching... By the way, do you think it's rude enough to interrupt someone who's teaching in a setting like this? It's rude enough. But can you imagine Jesus Christ preaching and teaching the Word of God and someone has the audacity to interrupt him? I don't know about you, but if Jesus had ushers, you know, like Peter and James and... I mean, I would have had those guys arrested. Or I would have had fire come down just for effect's sake. Wouldn't that not be cool? They interrupt Jesus and they've got a very wicked agenda. Check it out. The patience of God is amazing. While he was teaching and preaching, the chief priest, the scribes, and the elders, these three buffoons representing the buffoonery, confronted him and spoke to him saying, "Tell us, by what authority are you doing these things and who gave you this authority?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "I will also ask you a question and you will answer me." Wouldn't you love to have been there? I love this kind of stuff. Jesus is saying, all right, and this is the wisdom, the power, the anointing, the authority of Christ and the patience of God. Who are these people? You might ask, well, who are these guys that would even think of interrupting Jesus? Well, number one, let's not shoot them yet. We'll shoot them later, but don't shoot them yet. The reason why they're coming after Jesus is because they want an explanation about what happened this week and what happened just the other day. What right do you think you have, Jesus, that you get on a donkey and ride down over the Mount of Olives and the whole nation is saying, "Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Meaning, what right do you think you have to declare yourself to be king? That's a good question. They had the right to ask that question. Number two, by what authority are you doing this? Who gave it to you? Now, they had known well about him for 3.5 years. They knew exactly what was going on. And not only that, they knew all about his upbringing. They knew all about the prophecies. For 33 years, these guys have been hearing about Jesus Christ. But who are these guys? They're called the Sanhedrin. You ought to write it down. The Sanhedrin were a group of Pharisees, spiritual leaders on steroids. I mean, you get a Pharisee on steroids and they've got to join the Sanhedrin. These guys were the ultimate gathering of arrogance. Number one, the chief priests, these guys claimed that Abraham was their father, yet they did not have the faith of Abraham. Jesus in John's gospel says, if you believe like Abraham did, you would receive me. You would know who I am. And so the priests claimed, we are like Abraham. We are men of faith. The scribes, these guys claimed to be ones who fulfilled and kept the law. We know Moses, they would represent. You know, there's one guy, the group's got Abraham signs, and the other group has got Moses signs, then they're all the leaders of that, the scribes, and then the elders, well, we're the guardians of the prophets. We represent the prophets, and they've got all the prophets on their sign, and they're all there, and they're protesting Jesus's ministry, and as they band together, there's a few things you need to understand. Number one, the word authority in Greek is exousia, and that word means the privileges, the freedom, the jurisdiction, the liberty. The meaning carries with it the place of mastery, honor, or leadership. Jesus, where did you get this leadership? We don't agree with it. We're fighting against it. We're trying to stop you. Where did you get your leadership? And who gave it to you? The word gave here is a Greek word, and it means this. Who is he, or what council, what group has given you this authority? It means to be bestowed upon, to be granted, to be ordained. Jesus, who ordained you? And what privilege do you think that you have to do the things that you're doing? Church, I want you to notice who's asking the Son of God these things. They are bringing not only God's calling and selection of who his ministers were to be, they're trying to undermine it, and they're calling on Jesus to justify himself in front of their faces. Basically, they're saying, who made you the boss? Boy, I tell you, if we had the time, which we don't, you could really go through the scripture on this one. Who made you the boss? Doesn't that ring of Korah in the book of Numbers? Remember that? When Korah said, you know what, Moses, we don't agree with your position on stuff. Who made you the boss? God says, Moses, tell all the people to get away from the tents of Korah and his buddies. Just move their tents quick. Oh, baby, this is cool stuff. Maybe I should be delivering this message to guys, because guys really get into this stuff. Ladies are going, I don't know if they should do that. God says, Moses, tell the people to get their tents away from Korah's tent and all of his buddies. And they separate. And while they're standing with their face in front of Moses' face, and they say, we want to be in charge. We want to do our own thing. We don't recognize your authority anymore. You know, guess what Moses did? Moses, he could have thrown down his staff. It could have been a gigantic snake like the one on the Indiana Jones ride at Disneyland and ate them all up. He didn't do that. What did Moses do? Instead of getting back into their face, he fell on his face. And Moses says, God, you judge between me and these guys. You judge. And the ground began to shake. And the ground opened up. And the Bible says the mouth of the earth opened up and swallowed them down. And then I think Moses stood up and said, any questions, anyone? How cool is that? What's my point? God establishes authority. God establishes. When men try to assume authority and go after their own pursuits without a call, it will end in destruction. Moses, who was called, he didn't want to be called, by the way. Notice that in Scripture. Many, 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 many times, Bible reveals that these men who are used mightily by God, in fact, women too, think of Deborah. Deborah says, I shouldn't be the commander of this army. And all the men said, please fight for us because we are wimps. Deborah said, okay, just understand this, you guys. When we get victory and everybody says, Deborah rocks, that I'm going to get the glory. No man's going to get it. They said, well, whatever you want, sweetie, just fight for us. Deborah didn't want the calling. Moses didn't want the calling. Jeremiah didn't want the calling. God establishes authority, church. Listen carefully. Are you in a pursuit in your business? Are you in a pursuit in your office? Are you in a pursuit in your career? Listen, give all that you have to God, your energies, your passions, your love, your life. Let him establish you. You go around seeking it for yourself, you'll end in destruction. You say, Pastor, you're a weirdo. I'm a gazillionaire, and I did it all my way. Yeah, so did Frank Sinatra. And he sang a song about it. But what shall it profit a man, as we talked recently, if you gain the whole world and lose your own soul? Be careful about self-appointments. Very serious. Didn't even Aaron and Miriam come to Moses and say, you know what? You're too much in control. We're going to take this from you. And God says, Miriam, Aaron, can I talk to you? And they probably thought, see, Moses, even God agrees with us. We're going to go talk to him. And they go over to talk to God, and God says, you know what? I appointed Moses. I'm not asking you if you like him or not. I appointed him. And so, Miriam, you have leprosy. Boom! And Aaron, you're just dumb. I mean, Aaron was just a clown. I mean, it was ridiculous. You're in trouble. And Aaron got in his own judgment. Miriam got in her judgment until they repented. Moses probably would have said, here, you want this staff? Take the staff. I don't want the staff. Jesus is standing there as the Son of God because he was. He was standing in absolute authority because he was. But these guys didn't like it. And so they're going to challenge him. So who made you the boss is their question. Human nature lusts for authority when it's not under the control of God. It's human nature. Man seeks to establish it himself. Man seeks to enforce it himself. You will listen to me is what they're saying to Jesus. While here in human flesh, Jesus Christ looked to God the Father to establish his authority. Church, this is key. Ask God, do you have a position over people? How about moms and dads over kids? Here's what you want to pray. Lord, you establish your authority. Because honestly, you guys, do we have any? That was not a resounding agreement I just heard a minute ago. The truth is we have none but which God establishes. So listen, recognize it and make it a prayer. Lord, if you want to use me, I'm asking you to establish your authority through me. If that's the way you work, and it is, then Lord, if you're going to give it, then you preside over it. Where did we get that lesson from? Jesus, mark it. John 5:26. As he says, for as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to execute judgment also because he is the Son of Man. Jesus then bestowed authority upon those whom he appointed. No one was to grasp it, take it, seize it, appoint it, sell it, or assume it to themselves. Jesus grants authority. And these men had missed it. In Matthew 28:18, that is, Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me, that came from his Father, in heaven and on earth. Look at verse 19. Go therefore and make disciples, followers of me, of all nations. So Jesus receives it from the Father in his earthly flesh. He turns around and he bestows it upon his disciples, his apostles. The only authority that is true authority is that which is God-appointed authority. In Luke chapter 9, verse 1, Luke 9:1 says, and then he called his 12 disciples together, and he gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases, and he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Is that not awesome? I think it's fantastic. Romans chapter 13, this one we don't like. How many of you have ever gotten a speeding ticket or a ticket of any sorts? Raise your hand. Okay, the rest of you are a bunch of liars, perhaps. I'm not sure. But there's about 50 honest people in here right now. Authority. Listen to this. Romans 13. Oh, wait, before we go, are there any police officers in here or judges? Judges don't like to raise their hands, but police officers, they're here right now. Romans 13, verse 1, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment upon themselves. Are you kicking against authority? God doesn't say, I want you to agree with my authority. Ladies and gentlemen, do we agree that the speed limit to be 65? I don't agree with that. That's insane. You say, well, on what right do you disagree with it? On the right that my car, or my Expedition anyway, could probably do 100. So why can't I do 100? Because the authorities say freeway mileage will be 65 miles an hour. I disagree with that. What happens if I go beyond it? I suffer the consequences. Based upon whose authority? Based upon the California Highway Patrol. Where did he get his authority? The state of California. Well, where did they get their authority? From the governing powers. Where did they get their authority? From the people. Where did they get their authority? From God. And when you resist that officer, listen, when that officer pulls you over and says, you're getting a ticket, say, God bless you, officer. That authority has been established by God. Who's the president of the United States? For the rest of you who do not know who the president is, his name's Barack Obama. He is the president. And listen, unless he issues decrees or has things done that is clearly contrary to Scripture, we are to obey. You say, Jack, I don't believe in the IRS. Look, I don't believe in it either. But I know this, if I don't pay those guys every month, I'm going to go to jail. Didn't Jesus say, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's? You do that. Now, if the IRS says, you must give us money as a church or you cannot preach the gospel, guess what? We are not going to give them. Under those circumstances, we are not to obey the governing authorities because it's in direct opposition to the revealed word of God. Do you understand that? It's very clear. It's very clear. If the government says you can't preach, I told you I was in Canada recently, and I had to sign a statement that from the pulpit I would not speak out against homosexuality or Islam. I had to sign it right there, and that ministry keeps it on file. It's against the law. I could not cite verses or scriptures that in any way felt any one of those two people groups to feel uncomfortable. In Canada, by the way, the hate crimes bill is going to pass here in the United States. It's already passed H.R. 1913, and those days are coming. It's the exact same thing that went on in Canada. So, Jack, at what point will you start deleting portions of the scripture? I'm not going to, which is why we need to have, oh, yeah, you clap now, but will you bail me out? I'm happy about your clapping, but listen, pony up with your wallet and get me out of that jail, will you? Because that's where we're going. You obey the authority, but when that authority, and it's rare, by the way, but when that authority oversteps the very expressed word of God, now you got another situation on your hands. You can read all about that, by the way, in Acts chapter 5, when Peter said this. Remember, the authority said, we're telling you now, do not preach anymore in the name of Jesus. Okay? How many of you are involved in the call? You go and share the gospel. The call ministry is life-changing, is it not? Life-changing. In some countries, that's illegal to knock on somebody's door and to tell them about Jesus Christ. In the book of Acts, chapter 5, they said, no more preaching in Jesus' name. Well, guess what the disciples did? They said, thank you very much. God bless you. You guys have a nice day. You're the authorities? Right on. So they went and preached. And the authorities said, did we not command of you not to speak in this man's name anymore? And Peter said, yeah, we heard you. But we have to obey God rather than man. Man, I got to tell you, Christians today, every one of us as believers, we're going to be confronted with that very same scenario, your life, if you name the name of Jesus, that verse in Acts chapter 5, verses 28 to 29 will become your life as it is mine now. Yep. Make no mistake about it. Thirdly, under this point, the witness of Jesus Christ, by his witness, we know the wisdom of God. Verse 4 to 8 says this, John the Baptist. Hey, I want to ask you guys some questions, you three stooges. John the Baptist, you could see them go, uh-oh, we came to bust him. We thought we trapped him. He mentions John the Baptist. Was it from heaven or was it from men? The ministry of John, ordained of God, ordained of men? And so they went, huddle. And they got into this little, what I call huddle from hell. And there's, what do we say? If we say it was from John, being from man, then the people are going to kill us because they love John and they believe he was a prophet from God. If we say it's from heaven, then he's going to ask us, why didn't we believe in John's message? We can't win this one. Then somebody who must have been the attorney in the group said, ask him what is means. Whiz is, what is. We've got to, we'll tell them we don't know. Now, you guys, this is an indictment on them. Why? They were the three religious groups that were to know everything about God, and they were to be pointing the entire nation to God. They're paid to know. Well, tell them we don't know. Ready? Break. Yeah, Jesus, hi, we're back, and the answer is we don't know. immediately in front of the people, they completely, by their own mouth, in their own speaking, cut themselves off at the knee. They were down for the count. They were hoping that the people wouldn't catch on to their antics. Jesus reveals the awesome, awesome wisdom of God. I like to call this pickled Pharisee on the menu. He nailed them. And they didn't have the answer. By the way, John the Baptist's announcement was in John 1:29 and verse 34. The next day, John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward them, and John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." Verse 34, "And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God." They're in trouble, you guys. Point number two this morning, verses 9 to 13, the ever-present argument of God is this: the sonship of Jesus Christ. These three groups are calling into question the sonship of Jesus Christ. The sonship of Jesus Christ and his connection and connecting God to man. Look at verse 9 and 10. His sonship, Jesus Christ being the Son of God and his authority, is revealed through his sonship in connecting God to man. Verse 9, "Then he began to tell the people this parable." Now everybody's in attendance. "A certain man planted a vineyard." Church, in your Bible margins, write God. In the parable, God is the certain man. "He leased it to vine dressers." That is, he gave it to not only mankind, but leaders. "And he went into a far country for a long time." Now, at vintage time, that's a reference to God coming back. He's getting ready to come back. He's getting prepared to come back. So he sends prophets and he sends others, because time is getting near. "Now at vintage time, he sent a servant to the vine dressers," that's the prophets, "that they might give him some of the fruit of the vineyard." Believers, those who would believe. By the way, I'm going to give you some verses. Can you mark it down? This is no stretch of this interpretation. It's clearly revealed in Scripture. Who is the vineyard? The Bible says who the vineyard is. Are you ready? Are you guys with us? All right. The vineyard in Scripture is the nation of Israel. How do we know? Psalm 80, verses 8 to 16. Psalm 80, verses 8 to 16. Isaiah 5, verses 1 through 7. Isaiah 5, verses 1 through 7. Isaiah 27, verses 2 to 5. Isaiah 27, verses 2 to 5. Jeremiah 2, verse 21. Jeremiah 2, 21. Ezekiel 19, 10 to 14, Ezekiel 19, verses 10 to 14, and Hosea chapter 10, verse 1. Hosea 10, verse 1, all say that Israel is the Lord's vineyard.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a presentation called The Ever-Present Argument of God. It's actually a series within our overall exploration of Luke's New Testament account and taken from the latter portion of chapter 19. We'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. In the meantime, a reminder of our special offer, Pastor Jack's DVD series called Saints, Sex, and Sinners, an examination of Paul's dealings with the Corinthian believers and the issues which the series title clearly describes. And quite honestly, doesn't that sound like something that must be addressed today? Well, Pastor Jack does deal with it today, and it's available on DVD. To obtain Pastor Jack's series, Saints, Sex, and Sinners, just ask for it by name when you get in touch. All we request is a gift of any amount to the ongoing outreach of Real Radio, and we'll be glad to send you the DVD series, Saints, Sex, and Sinners. Call, click, or write if you prefer. Pay us a visit at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, and you'll know just what to do. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can always be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.